time, and I'll do my best. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all ain't in no hurry, right? We on God's time. Hallelujah. Because without Him, hallelujah, what do we got? All we got, we got nothing without Him anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if I was going to title the sermon this morning, and that was great. I mean, I really enjoyed all of that, from the Sunday school, praise God, to all the way to the end of all of y'all's testimonies and words you shared, and it was all good. Praise the Lord. And I thought about the scripture this morning. You know, if I was going to title the sermon, it would be believe to see God's goodness. And I did a sermon out of that, and I never preach it the same. I don't know how they do the three services and preach exactly the same. I mean, but because it's just real challenging for me to do it. I'm not anointed for it. I'm sure if you come under the anointing, it would make a difference. But I got that out of Psalms over there, where David, he said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And God quickened that to me back long time ago, and still does, and refreshes it to me today. You know, in my life at that time, I had many trials. Many. I still have many. We're going to have trials in this earth, you know. And Satan, you know, some of my trials over the course of my life have been self-inflicted. You know, you can have self-inflicted trials, you know, but regardless of what the trial is, whether it's self-inflicted or something that's just out of your control, or it don't really matter. All of that is irrelevant of why in all the trial. No, all of that's irrelevant. Whether even today, if you're here and you're having self-inflicted trials, you know, you've got to turn to the Lord, you know. Just like when they were in the wilderness and they was looking away from the Lord, and the serpents was biting them and all of that. And he told him, he said, go and put a serpent on the pole and tell him to gaze on it. And that was representing Jesus. That was a type of Jesus in the Old Testament today. And they were getting bit and they were dying and all of that. And he says, go. He told him, go and gaze upon it. God told him, go tell him to go look on it. And the ones that looked on it, they were healed. That they were healed and they wasn't dying and all of that, you know. And the scripture's real clear to us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Him, you know, and God spoke to me through the Word years ago, and He said, you've got to believe to see my goodness in the land you're living in. He said, you've got to believe to see my goodness in your marriage. You've got to believe to see my goodness in your body. You've got to believe to see my goodness in your relationships. You've got to believe to see my goodness. You've got to say it to yourself. I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God in the land that I live in. We got to purposely believe to see the goodness of God, because the scripture is clear. You know, everything is not up to God, and God's will is not taking place fully in this earth, you know, or people wouldn't be being killed and murdered and in prisons and dying early and all of that. If God's will was totally being done in this earth, you wouldn't have all of that stuff, but it's not. So we got to go and go back to Genesis, back there to the perfect will of God in the garden. When He told them, subdue, He said, I'm giving you authority, multiply, subdue, replenish the earth. And then we know the enemy come in. We know that authority was given to Satan, hallelujah. But we know, according to Galatians 3:13, that Jesus redeemed us back. We've been redeemed back from out from under the curse. See, a curse came in. Sin, that's why sin, it destroys us. That's why we want to come out of sin. We want to come out and walk in the righteousness of God, because sin brings destruction. That's what the Bible says. But you know, God is such a good God. He says, son, daughter, I will let you have it your way, but I've got a better way. And it's believing to see me in the land of the living, because I satisfy. I satisfy where money can't. I satisfy where pleasures can't. I satisfy where your house can't. I satisfy you in your inward man, and the outward things are wonderful then. I can enjoy my garden. I can enjoy, I'm in major trials in my business right now over my vendors and people and doors and different things. You know, that tries to come in and steal. But you know what I done? I turned to the Lord. I said, I'm going to give my way out of this, God. You said, give and it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into my bosom. And I sowed seeds to God. See, I don't do my giving to be seen or heard that you, but y'all will brag on me anyways. People will brag on you anyways when you are a giver, when you are a fighter for people. They will brag on you. That thrills me. You know, that they say, well, go over there, they're the real deal. Well, you know what? They had the Coke commercial one time. Coke, the real thing. And Jesus said, he said, I'm Jesus. He said, I am the real thing. And I thought, glory to God. Glory to God. I've accepted this Jesus. See, look, serving Jesus is the easiest thing you will ever do in your life. God spoke that to me one time and I thought, I don't know about all that. Y'all ever been through hell in the hallway? You ever felt like, where is Jesus? Man, where are you at, God? Where are you at? You know, and I thought, serving Jesus. And all of a sudden, I realized that serving Jesus was my choice. Now, your circumstances and your battles and the enemy and all of that is different than serving Jesus. It's different than serving Jesus. Serving Jesus is I choose to serve Jesus Christ. That's a choice. That's a simple choice that me and you have made. Now we come into the dominion and the power of the Christ. And then when we face these battles, we cast them over, right? We cast them over on the Lord. Why? He said He cares for us. He knows if we don't cast them that they're going to crush us. He knows Satan knows if you don't cast your care and expleave to see the goodness of God in the trouble that you are facing, that he has the potential to get you, because Satan does not have power over a Christian. Amen. He does not have power over Aiden. He's 7. I'm teaching him how to run a mini X. I got a pile of wood, and I told him, I said, okay, I said, I don't want you, don't get no dirt and put in there. I want only the wood. He's never run one. He can't reach the floorboard. So I put him on there, you know. He's over there, and I showed him how to function. This opens your bucket, this right here. I showed him the functions and all of that. Then I backed off. I thought, okay, I've showed him the functions. Now I got to let him function. That's what God does. God gives us His Spirit. He gives us His anointing. He gives us His Word. He brings teaching and ministering like He did through the church this morning. And I'm telling you, He equips us to go out into this mission field, into this battleground, into these trials, into these things that tries to convince us that we can't have a good life, and then we're equipped with the equipment of God. And so he's over there, and I kind of walk around where he can't see me because he keeps looking at me like he's going to mess up. Look, God's not looking for you to mess up and for you to swat you out. God's not waiting just to jump on you when you make mistakes. God is there saying, okay, maybe this is self. I've been in some self-inflicted battles that I did myself out of wrong choices, blah, 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 you know, and all that. But I never let that take me and say, what's the use of serving God? I'm just a mess up. I'm just fail every time. I come short every time. And look, we don't always have to come short of God's glory. I'm telling you, the body of Christ, we're coming to the place to where we hear God, we walk with God, and we obey the Lord out of the power that He's put in us to be obedient to Him, and then we walking in the glory. We are already favored. We have the favor of God. We're surrounded with the favor of God. God is on our side. If God be for you, who can be against you? You know what? I was in a major battle. You know, I went to churches and different things. I evangelized for 7 years before I started pastoring. And I would hear people quote that Psalms 37, I believe it is. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And everybody would say, amen, amen, amen. I had my Bible out in one of them services one night. And I could identify with that. How many knows? Every one of us can identify with affliction. Some of y'all ain't alive. I don't know what world you live in. I mean, I had to put up with Bluntsville. They sent all their little young cops down here at one time. And I left church one night and I had a headlight out. I had it in the dash. And they pulled me over and five cop cars swooped in there with their lights and sirens on. And I'm like, good Lord Almighty Jesus. I said, what's wrong with y'all, man? Turn all them lights off. I just came from church, man. This don't look good. All the members going, about, what happened to Brother Scotty? Oh my God, what has he done, you know? And then I mean, it's like I had started having these thoughts. Oh my God, what is everybody going to think, man? I mean, if one pulls you over, we don't think nothing. But when you got the SWAT team over you, yeah, it don't look good. It looks like they called for backup, don't it? So we went through that little era, you know, and all of that. But anyhow, they would say, amen, amen, amen. And I'm sitting there one night, and I read that. They stopped in this service, and I'm not belittling anybody. But you know what? I begin to see things that Satan was causing people to have half of Scripture identified with their nobody, but didn't read the rest of it. It said, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. And I would stand up in them services then after that, praise God, when they would say that, and I'd say, but our deliverer said, read on down. Just read on down. And then I stopped being a victim. See, you can be a victim in your mind. You can have a victim mentality. It's just poor me all the time if it ain't one thing. Or you can have a victorious mindset. You can have the mind of Jesus Christ. He said, put on the mind of Christ. I mean, he didn't go around saying many are the afflictions. I mean, the dude, he was in trouble a lot. Paul was in trouble a lot. God told me one time, he said, you got to be like the Apostle Paul. He said, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit told him, he said, you're going to be in prison. You're going to be beat. You're going to be, these chains and bonds await you. They await you. And Paul responded back to him. He said, but none of these things move me. See, God is a miracle working God. I went to the jails one time. I was going to the jails back when I was evangelizing, and I thought about this morning. And I went in, and me and Chuck McDonald partnered up, and we went together, you know. And when he wasn't with me or I wasn't with him, we wouldn't go in the women's cell. You know, it's just smart guys, you know. You got an accuser of the brethren. Well, that little pastor was smiling at me. Raw. That's not good. If I got a witness in there, no. Right. We didn't see nothing. Well, anyways, we go in there this one particular morning, and I told Chuck, I told my partner, we went together. I said, listen, man, I said, because I thought, well, prefer others before yourself, you know, and I thought. So I told him, I said, look, man, I said, you know what? I'm going to let you minister today. You just do it, and I'm going to back you up, and if you're praying and all that, you know, and I'm just going to be in agreement with you today. And so I'm sitting there, and we go in the lady's cell, and I lean back against the wall, and I looked over, and when my eyes caught this one young lady, the Holy Spirit said, tell her she's going home. I thought, oh my Jesus, I don't even know who she is. I don't know, you know. I heard it again. I said, Lord, speak it to me again. Say, you need to tell the Lord, speak to me. Tell me what to do in this financial situation, God. Tell me what to do in my marriage. Tell me what I need to do, God. Well, people, when you do that, then you're looking unto Jesus, right? You're not looking for your way out. Anyways, I told her. I said, ma'am, I said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and I'm telling you this for a reason. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you're going home. I mean, she just starts weeping and all that, and I'm thinking, she just got happy, that's all. Well, we leave. We leave, and the next week, I'm going by myself. Chuck, for some reason, couldn't go that week. And so I thought, I'm going to just run by the lady's cell. You know, I'm not going in there. Well, I got nearly by, and they're like, preacher! Preacher! And so I thought, they're not getting me in there. And so I just stuck my head around there, and I said, yeah. And she said, hey, you remember that girl last week that you said God said? And I said, yeah, I remember. She said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, she went home. Yeah, but that's not the major thing. She was a bad check writer. She had wrote a bunch and a bunch and a bunch till it became a felony, and she had already went before the judge, and the judge had already sentenced her to prison, and they were waiting on her extraditing stuff to get her out of here, taking her to prison. He said, and after you did that, the Monday morning after that, something happened and the judge overturned it, and she went home Monday. Now, what I'm telling you is, I'm there and I'm like, oh my God. I know Jesus, he saved me. But I mean, I didn't know he could reverse stuff. How many knows that's the favor of God? I said, I wonder why he did that. They said, well, you know, right before you came in, a preacher came through or something, and she gave her heart to Jesus. I said, that's the answer. She looked to Jesus. She turned to Jesus. And you know what favor is? It is getting what you don't deserve. And then some. So she didn't get what she deserved. Listen to me, God is speaking to us today. We don't get what we deserve when we're going after God. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything. Just keep your heart in sync with the Lord and be repentive when we mess up and make mistakes and all that, because God is a delivering God. He said, believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I remember one time I got myself in bad shape financially. And I'm believing God. I'm quoting scriptures. I thought, oh, Jesus, man, I'm just going to go to church. And I went up my pastor. You know, I don't remember what might have been. I don't know when it was. But anyways, I told Teresa, I said, I think I'm going to go to church. And I go to church, you know, and we're going under. We're 3 months behind. They done sent a quick foreclosure letter to us. You know, we got to move out. And, everything is just terrible. Terrible. I mean, you pray and you don't feel nothing. That was terrible. You ask God and he don't answer. That was terrible. You know, and so I go to church, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, let Bradley pray for you. And I thought, well, I ain't telling him nothing. Because I'm like, I'm in a fix here where man can't deliver me. I mean, it's going to take a miracle for me and Teresa to stay afloat. It's going to take a miracle. But I'd already watched the man that was going to sell his church. He was a pastor, came into one of the meetings that I went to. I'd went to a revival, and his heart was broke because they told him, you're going to have to move out of your church. We're selling it. And he couldn't borrow the money, and he didn't have the money to buy that church. But he had been at that church. He's the one that married me and Teresa, Runny Waldrop. He's dead now. He was in that meeting, you know, and he said, but I've got $1. He said, I'm going to put $1. He said, I'm going to put a dollar in the offering, and I'm going to believe God that he'll turn it around. I don't want to lose my church. But they're set on selling it. And I thought, a dollar? I thought, glory to God. I thought, you know what? Bless God, I'm just going to get in agreement with this man. I'm going to believe the Bible says any two touching anything, right? So I got in agreement with him. Well, I went to revival 3 or 4 weeks later or sometime later, and he stands up and testifies. He said, I'm going to tell you, I give a... They've taken off or nothing. He's testified. He said, I give a $1 bill in an offering. And they were selling my church. He went and told the whole story. He said, and I gave that dollar offering to God. That's important. Yeah. You're offering to God. Yeah. Right?
Right?
You are looking to God. You're a money... A dollar can't buy a building.
No,
it's an offering to God. Well, he goes on, you know, and he said, and all of a sudden they changed their mind and they signed the church over to me and gave it to me.
Hallelujah.
He got the church for one release of faith. One release of his faith. The dollar didn't do it. His faith in God did it. Well, don't the scripture say in Mark 11, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Well, I'm standing on that scripture and all of that, and I go and I'm going under. And I'm telling God, God, if you'll just send the money, I'll go take care of all of this stuff, God, all of this stuff. And I get there and I tell my pastor, I said, pray for me, man. And he comes up and I didn't tell him nothing. He's praying. And then he stopped all of a sudden. He said, Brother Scotty, he said, I see you in quicksand. Y'all know what quicksand is? You jump in. You don't go under fast. It ain't like water. Poof. You know, he said, you're just barely out of the quicksand. He said, but God said to tell you this quicksand is him. Then I left and I'm thinking, this quicksand's God. And when I get home and Teresa, she said, how's the service? So I told her it hadn't dawned on me. She said, I've been telling you, you're going to have to get in agreement with God. The quicksand is God. You're not coming out by yourself. You can't climb out of quicksand. You know, and it, at that time, you know, the afflictions and all of that and the challenges and the worry and the what we going to do and where we going to live, and Travis and Beth is going to be homeless. They lived on our property. I mean, I had a lot of stuff on me at that time. I was letting the stuff get between me and the Lord in my heart. Teresa said, you're going to have to agree. So I come in agreement with God. I said, okay, I just surrender. Don't we sing that song, I surrender all. I surrender all. That's good. That is a wonderful spiritual song. You know, but when it comes down to where we live, we got to do it. We can't just sing it. We got to do it. That's a challenge that we have of hanging on and having our way. And God told me one time, he said, son, he said, nothing you do outside of me will satisfy you. He said, but if you'll serve me, he said, you can gain the world, he said, and you still not be satisfied. But if you will serve me, I'll give you everything you desire, and you will serve me with it. Then you will be happy, joyful, you know. Well, I got in agreement, praise the Lord, hallelujah. All I did was started believing to see God's goodness in the land I was living in. That I wouldn't lose my house. And I want to come to church. You know, I come to church and I'm driving below empty. And I'm coming and I'm telling God, God, let me tell the people at church and let them take an offering up. God, $50 would be wonderful. I can't even buy my son a Coke coming to church. And the Lord said, he said, don't tell them nothing. Do you know how challenging it was to come here and tell you how blessed you are when I felt cursed? You hear me? God said, I thought you believed me. You're wanting to tell the folk. He said, sure they would out of love. They would give you a, he said, but I thought you believed me. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I knew he was going to do that. You just know God's going to want something out of you. See, God wanted me bringing forth some 30 and then some 60 and then maybe 100 pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
He wanted me. The Word says whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, you receive it. Then he goes on, you know, I'm sowed the Word in you. I sowed it. And you to start with, you was stony ground. To start with, you was on the riverbank and you was reject me ground. And then you let me in. Then there's that stony ground. Then there, and he said, but my people are good ground. He said, they're the good ground. He said, that's people that are going to serve me, that are going to, well, I surrendered to God. And I said, God, I'm sorry for getting my family in this mess, God. Sometimes, you know, we got to repent, guys and gals. God, I'm sorry that I got my family in this mess, God. That I put them in a place, God, because your word says that you're not slack concerning your promises. I messed up somewhere. You know, God's not holding. The Bible says he will not withhold one good thing from me if I walk with him. If I walk with him, he will not hold back. And I surrendered to the Lord, and I mean I had sold and tried to muster up money and everything. I mean, I would try to sell something, nobody would even buy it. That tells you favor's gone. Man, I mean I couldn't do anything. Anyways, I turned to the Lord, and you know what? 3 days later, I got one phone call and I got one job that delivered me totally. When I couldn't do it on my own, and I never got behind on nothing from that moment on until I come debt-free now. But see, God wasn't holding me in the quicksand. God was saying, I can't let you go any further because you will not see the full potential of my blessing with this mediocre believing. You got to go deeper in your believing. And when you really believe, then you really receive. You start coming, you know, into a place. And you know what? I mean, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We know that. But faith without doing something with it is dead. You know, it kind of reminds me of sometimes, you know, God brings us his body to a place. It kind of reminds me of, who was it? Gideon, it was Gideon. God heard the cries of all these people that's coming into our food thing and going into the churches. God hears the cries of all those people. He heard the cries of the Israelites. And then he knocks on Gideon's door. And he said, Gideon, I want you to go to my people, the Israel. I want you to go preach to them. Go deliver them. And then Gideon, he's like, oh man, you know, all they was two armies and their allies. And God telling him how to pick the fighters, the warriors. And he tells them, he said, when they go down, he said, and that's what he tells us, be doers of the word. Don't go down, drink, and just let the devil run wild. He says, go down. He said, and the ones that are watching for the enemy, when they drink, he said, pick them. And it got all the way down. As he said, the ones that are not watching, he said, send them on. And so it come down. That was the wisdom of God. I imagine he got down to about 400 and he says, hey God, there's two armies and allies. I imagine the armies back then were not like 3 months for cops. You know, I mean, they're warriors. Back in those days, they were warriors. Well, anyways, he goes on and he gets him down to 300. And God spoke to me one time. He said, son, he said, I made it impossible for Gideon to win with his own strength. He said, I've made it impossible for man to have my promises with their own strength and their own faith. He said, it takes the faith of God. Mark 11, 22 says, have the faith of God. The God kind of faith. You know? And I said, well, how do I get this God kind of faith, God? He said, you already got it. He said, I told you that it's that every man has been given the measure of faith. Then we start walking our faith out in our serving God. And I'm going to say this in close, because y'all did a great job. I was kind of getting, like, I'm not even going to get to preach, God. I'm not looking for reason not to come and love on you. You know, not I love on God doing this. I'm showing God I love you because you called me for your people and I want to do what your will, God. And that gives me joy and satisfaction in just doing the will of God. You know, but the Lord said, he said, you have my kind of faith. He said, every man has been given the measure of faith. He said, then you look at Jesus, you've got to serve. He told me one day, I was sitting and I'm wondering if I would ever get anything out of God, if I would ever get raises and stuff and see supernatural things. I'm three or four months old in the Lord. And I'm sitting and I'm wondering if I'm really going to see this God of the Bible and these miracles and all this stuff that he did for these people. Could they really happen in mine and Teresa's life, you know, and in the ministry? And I've seen miracle after miracle. But anyhow, God spoke to me. And I'm telling you, that's what he speaks to all of us. He said, if you will serve me, if you will follow me. I mean, he made that real clear. If you'll go to church. All I knew in following Jesus at that time is be faithful to church. That's all I knew. Read my Bible, be faithful to church. And quit cussing. Stop saying that big bum word, you know, the four-letter word. Just stop saying that. I knew that was God's will. So I was trying to work on the big words, you know. And everything. But he told me, he said, if you'll serve me, if you'll follow me. And what that means to you is whatever God is telling me and you in our personal life to do, that's all. I mean, it's so easy. That's easy. That's really easy. Now, I have to control my flesh or I'll beat Teresa up after 30 years of ministry. I mean, she can say stuff. I mean, there's nobody that can get to me quicker than that woman. And I don't think there's nobody on the planet can get to her quicker than this man. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit. That's why we have to walk with God. We walk with God, then we're one. The more that we look to Jesus, the more one me and her become. The more that we get closer to God, the closer we get together. The closer I get to God here, the closer me and you get together. We're in a bond that cannot be broken by the devil. Neither principality, lie, principalities, powers can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The more that I help people and give, the happier man that I am. But I don't do, like Monty, I don't do it to say, oh, y'all, ah. Travis told me the other day, he said, Dad, he said, reckon how much money you've give away over your serving Jesus. I said, probably a million or so. I said, I just told him, I said, I don't know, son. I said, I hadn't kept up with him. Well, he just lived with him. He's lived with me. And you know what? He wanted a different truck one time, and I told him, I said, well, I said, you get your seeds right out there. He's like, what? I said, that truck we bought and give you, sow it to somebody. Pray and ask the Lord. He's a teenager. I said, pray and ask the Lord who gets the truck. I said, if you want better, I said, sow your way there. You sow that truck. He's drove big trucks ever since. He come to me, I think the next day, and he said, oh, Dad, Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me who gets the truck. And he's all ecstatic and happy, you know, and he sows that truck, and I've not seen him drive a small truck since. What was I doing? Showing him the way of Jesus Christ. Give, and it shall be given, right? Praise God. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're facing, no matter how bad it looks, how bad it feels, how bad the report is, I mean, the girl was going to prison. For God's sake. And God said, not today. She's turned to me. Now I'm doing the thing. I'm doing a new thing. That's what favor does. Favor gets doors open that won't normally open for you. I'm going to tell you one more. There was a guy coming here and he stole a bunch of cars and they got tired of him and he's going to jail. You know, and he comes up there and I'm on the sound booth and he tells me, he said, well, Brother Scott, I got to go to court tomorrow and I don't know. I said, don't say that. Right. Don't say you ain't coming back. Right. I said, I'm not going to put up with that. So I tell him, I said, look, I said, God is a, I said, you're favored. I said, you've got God's favor now. You've got God's power now. I said, now you go. I said, when you go tomorrow, I said, don't go to your DA and tell them how saved. Don't do all of that. I said, you go and you believe for God's favor. You believe to see the goodness of God in that courthouse. I said, you don't look to the judge for mercy. You look for God to have mercy and turn this thing around for you. He went to court and lo and behold, he come to church Sunday. I said, I told you, bless God. And we witnessed it here at this church as long as he was after the Lord and going after the Lord. Now he's back in jail. They got out of church and went all that, done to all that. And then they just went right back to captive. It wasn't God doing it. God didn't leave them or nothing. They just walked kind of, you know, and all of that stuff. But I hear from him every day. I'm coming back to church. I love my church family, Brother Scotty. But you know what? We see, we witness God begin to turn out till he was almost totally free from all of those charges, walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you that your goodness is